Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Job. I would like to read from Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. But the book of Job is a very practical book. It helps us to see and understand that God's very, very faithful people often have great troubles and problems and trials in their lives. Job was a man of God, a man that loved God, a man that feared God. The very beginning of the book of Job begins by saying that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That's a great man. That's what God said about him. That's not what he said about himself. It's not just what somebody else said, but God said that about Job, and that's a great testimony that God would make that declaration about Job. A man that feared God, a man that shunned evil. He was a perfect and upright man. Doesn't mean he was absolutely perfect. There's never been an absolutely perfect man on this earth except our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But there is a perfection that God's people can reach. It's not absolute perfection. We'll be completely perfect when we enter the eternal heaven. When this world is over, that's when we'll be completely perfect. We're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And that's the only time that we'll be completely perfect. Job chapter 23, you're familiar with all the sufferings that Job went through. Job lost all of his possessions. He lost all 10 of his children. He had boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. His wife said, "Curse God and die." His friends accused him of doing something terribly wrong that would cause God to bring so much trouble in his life. His friends were wrong. The fiery problems that Job was having in his life was not fiery judgments, but it was a fiery trial of his faith. There's a major difference as you read and study the Word of God. There's a difference in the fiery judgments that God sends into the lives of his people when they're walking in disobedience to God's teachings and commandments. That's fiery judgments. And then those that do walk in obedience, they do still have fiery trials in their lives. Peter says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial," which is to try you. You're going to have fiery trials in your life. Job had fiery trials in his life. In Job chapter 23, listen to what he says. Job 23, beginning with verse 1. He's communicating with his friends. Job 23:1 says, "Then Job answered and said, 'Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order.'" He's talking about finding God. That's who he needed. Who else did he have right now? Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me." Now, that did happen later on. He probably wished he had never said those words because he was rebuked harshly by God for his arrogant attitude. Verse 6, "Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job still loved God. And Job knew, in spite of all the trouble he was going through, Job knew that God loved him. There are three statements that Job makes in Job chapter 23, verses 8 and 9, there are three statements that I want you to notice. First of all, in verse 8, he says, Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. I want you to remember that statement. I cannot perceive him. Then in verse 9, he says, On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. And then he says, in the rest of that verse, He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. So he says, I cannot perceive him. I cannot behold him. I cannot see him. And he explains the reason that he could not behold or perceive or see God. The reason is, God has hidden himself from me. God does that sometimes. God often hides himself, that we cannot see him. Isaiah says that we better seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. We need to pray that God will help us, that when we cannot behold him and we cannot perceive him and we cannot see him, we need to pray, God, help me to still know that you're there. Whether I can see you or not, you're there. And whether I can feel your presence and feel your love or not, help me to remember that you have loved me with an everlasting love and that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Help me to know that you are constant, your love is constant, and you do care about me even when you hide yourself from me. You have a purpose in everything that's happening in my life. Did you know God has a purpose? No matter what's going on in your life right now, God has a purpose in what's going on in your life. And that's the reason he says, after he says, I can't perceive him, I can't behold him, I can't see him, he's hidden himself from me. He says in verse 10, but God knows the way that I take. God knows where I am. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I want you to know, brethren, that Job understood that after all of this was over, he was going to come out a better man than he had been before. When he hath tried me, I will come forth as gold. Now, brethren, if you and I will begin to look back at our lives on all those occasions where we've had fiery trials and we sometimes could not even find God, we know that after all of that was over, we know that we did come out a better person than we were before. I think that probably everybody here could testify that even though there have been times, even fiery judgments or fiery trials, we can testify that when God was through with us and we came out on the other side, we've always known that God brought about a change in our lives that we needed to have in our lives. God does all things well. Everything that God does because he loves us. It's for his honor and his glory, but he never does anything that is not filtered through love. Parents are not always that way. You and I don't always do everything right, but God always does everything right. And so Job, he says, I can't perceive him, I can't behold him, I can't see him because he hides himself from me. I want you to remember that even when God hides himself from you and you can't behold or perceive or see him and you can't feel his presence, I want you to know that God still loves you. I want you to exercise your faith and say like Job did, well, when he's through with me, I'm going to come forth as gold tried in the fire. I'm going to be better when it's all over than I am now. I want you to be strong in faith and know that God does still love you, because what the devil will tell you when you're going through those fiery trials is God doesn't care about you. God doesn't care about your troubles. He doesn't care about your problems. God does care. God cares more about your troubles and problems than anyone else and everyone else on this earth. God does care about your troubles and problems. Don't ever doubt that. God does love you and God cares. And he knows the path that you're walking down. And he knows every burden that you have. Hebrews chapter 4 says about our great high priest that he is, the scripture talks about that we don't have a high priest that is not touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but Jesus was tempted in every point like we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows what you feel in your lives. He knows all about what it feels to have the kind of pain that some of the members of the body are going through right now. He knows all about physical pain. He was God in the flesh, but he was in the flesh, and he knows the pain, the physical pain. When he was nailed to that tree, he felt the same physical pain that you or I would feel. Brethren, he felt worse pain whenever the sins of all of God's people were placed on him, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus knows about pain. He knows about heartache. He knows about physical pain. He knows all about being forsaken. He knows all about when no one cares about you. Jesus knows all about that. And when you think nobody cares about you and nobody cares about your troubles, you need to know Jesus does care. And that'll give you peace in your soul. You need to see. See, by faith, you can see him when you can't see him. There are times in my life I look around and I see him working and I know God is helping me. I can look around and I can see God just did something wonderful in my life. I can look around and I can see the Lord is strong and mighty and God is guiding and directing and helping you and blessing me and blessing the church. There are other times that I look around and I can't find him. I can't behold him. I can't perceive him. I can't see him. I can't feel him. You know what it takes then? Faith. That's what Job had. He had strong faith. He says, but God knows where I am. And when he's through with me, I'm going to come through this as gold tried in the fire. Now, in all the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding and everything that Job had about God, he still had never seen God as clearly as he did after going through all that he did here. In fact, at the end of the book of Job, back up, go towards the end of the book of Job, turn to the last chapter, Job chapter 42. I want you to see that as a result of going through this time when Job could not behold or perceive or see God, I want you to know when it was all over, he said this in Job 42 and verse 5. He said, I have heard of thee, he's talking to God, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. You see, he went through a period when he couldn't see God, but I believe God blessed Job to see God more clearly at the end of this book than he had ever seen him before. And then when God told Job to pray for his friends who had falsely accused him, and Job did pray for his friends, then God gave Job twice as much as all that he'd had before. Brethren, God never stopped loving Job. Even though Job couldn't perceive or behold or see God, God was with him. You're going to have to go through some fiery trials and difficulties in your life. I beg you in the name of Christ, Lord, help me and help you not to ever doubt God's love when we have to go through those fiery trials. David often felt what Job did. Well, I think maybe David got lower than Job did. Look at Psalm 10 just a moment. Psalm 10 and verse 1. If you read some of the Psalms, I really believe that David sometimes got lower than Job did in his feelings. More depressed, more discouraged, and more despondent. And here's the reason why I believe that. Job's fiery trials were not because of his sin. David's fiery judgments were because of his sin. So I believe that Job, in the middle of all of his troubles and fiery trials, God was still manifesting himself. Though he couldn't see God clearly, he still knew God was there with him. He could say like David of old, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He knew, Job knew God was with him. David, on the other hand, look at Psalm 10. Psalm 10, verse 1. See if you can see the contrast here. Psalm 10, verse 1, David says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Does God hide himself? There are a lot of times people say, well, now, the God I serve just wouldn't do that. Well, the God of the Bible does do that. God does sometimes hide himself, and he has a purpose, and everything he does is to his glory, and it's for our good. God knows the thoughts that he has towards us, and they're thoughts of peace and not of evil. And so David says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? When God does hide himself from you, I want you to pray, God, help me remember that you are still there. You are there, and help me to remember that when this is over, I'm going to come forth as gold tried in the fire. Psalm 13, listen to what David says now. It seems that David's getting worse as he goes along. Psalm 13, verse 1, he says, how long wilt thou forget me? Did he think God had completely forgotten him? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? Do you see that he's beginning to think this may last forever? See, Job didn't feel that way. Job felt like, well, now when he finishes with me, I'm going to come forth as gold tried. Did Job see there was going to be an end to his affliction? But David began to wonder, this may last forever. And so he says in Psalm 13:1, David says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? Have you ever felt that way? When you were being chastened by God, have you ever felt, you know, I don't know if God's ever going to manifest his love to me again. I may spend forever. Have you ever felt that way? This may be forever. And then he says in the rest of that verse, Psalm 13:1, he says, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long, Lord? How long are you going to hide yourself from me? Is it going to be forever? I want to assure every one of you as God's people that God will not hide his face from you forever. He will and does hide himself from you for a season, but it will not be forever. I think it's beautiful that when David begins this psalm and he's saying, are you going to hide yourself from me forever? I want you to look at the last verse of that psalm. Psalm 13, verse 6. He says, I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Now, this verse, the last verse of this psalm almost seems like it drifted in from another psalm. Because as you read this whole psalm, all you hear is David's complaint against God. All you hear is him bemoaning and crying and weeping. And then what does he say at the end? I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. David began to reflect back on his life, and he says, you know, I'm going through hell right now. But he says, God dealt bountifully with me. All during my life, God has been good to me. I know I'm going through hell right now, but I'm telling you, brethren, even when you're in the midst of that fire and that hell here on this earth, you need to do what David did and look way back and say, oh, look how good the Lord was to me back there. Look how the Lord did deal bountifully with me. And you may think that this is saying now everything's changed. I think he was just still singing praises to God for those things that he could remember from the past. Go to Psalm 27. Here's what David said in Psalm 27. Remember now, what was the problem? What was the problem that Job had? I cannot perceive him. I cannot behold him. I cannot see him. He hides himself. He hideth himself from me. And so Psalm 27, verse 4, here's what David said. Here's the most important thing in David's life. Isn't it good to know what the most important thing is in somebody's life? The most important thing. Here's what David says, the one thing he desired. Psalm 27, verse 4, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. This is the number one thing. Isn't that good? What's the number one thing you desire of the Lord? Might not be what David desired. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? Why do you want to dwell in the house of the Lord? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold, to see. That's what behold. Behold and see the beauty of the Lord. That's the reason we want to see him. Peace. You know what happens every time I can see the Lord? I have peace in my soul. When I can see the Lord, I behold the beauty of the Lord. everything's all right in me when I can see, behold, and perceive the beauty of the Lord. And so David said, this is the one thing I desire, is to dwell in the house of the Lord. And the reason I want to dwell in the house of the Lord is, in the house of the Lord, I want to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at His temple. You know why we've come here? I love the fellowship. I'm thankful for the fellowship, but that's not why we're here. We've come to see Jesus. We've come to behold the beauty of the Lord. One of the songs that we sing says, beyond the sacred page, we seek Thee, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Did you know that in everything that's ever preached, if your eyes are opened, you know what you'll see every time? You'll see Jesus. When Philip began to preach to that eunuch who was sitting there reading Isaiah 53 and did not understand what he was reading, the Word of God says that Philip began at the same scripture in Isaiah 53 and preached unto him Jesus. Now, Jesus by name is not mentioned in Isaiah 53, but Jesus says this. He says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You want to see Jesus? One of the best ways for you to see Jesus is to read the Word of God. As you read the Word of God, it testifies of the living Word. This written Word, the preached Word, it always is declaring the living Word, Jesus Christ. I want to see Jesus. If I want to see Jesus, I need to read the Word, because that's where I can see Jesus. Jesus is revealed in the Word of God. I can see Jesus more clearly when I read and study the Word of God. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Here's another beautiful man, Isaiah. I get tickled every time I think of Isaiah. Because when you think of Isaiah, or when I think of Isaiah, I think of Isaiah chapter 5. Now, I love to think of Isaiah 6, but I can't do it without thinking of Isaiah 5. Because in Isaiah 5, Isaiah says, he says, woe unto them. Woe unto them. He identifies a lot of different categories of people. Woe unto them that do this. Woe unto them that do that. Woe unto them that do something else. And it was right for him to do that. He was declaring these people are headed for trouble because of what they were doing. But then he saw the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. The scripture says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then he describes what he saw when he saw the Lord high and lifted. You know how he saw the Lord? You know how he saw the Lord? The Lord did what? The Lord revealed himself. You've never seen the Lord except the Lord reveal himself to you. When Jesus began his ministry and asked his apostles, who do you say that I am? Who do men, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood. Did he see Jesus clearly right there? I see Jesus. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you're a blessed man, because my Father is the one who revealed that to you. So every time you've ever seen Jesus, it's because God has revealed himself to you. Sometimes in a sunrise, I can see Jesus. That's not worshiping the sun. Jesus is called in Malachi 4:2, the S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. And so when I see the sun rising, I go back to the first day of creation when God created this, not the first day, the fourth day of creation when he created the sun. First day of creation, he said, let there be light, and there was light. But on the fourth day of creation, he began to create the sun and the moon and the stars. The stars also is the way it puts it. Oh, I see Jesus. I see the Lord high and lifted up when I look at the creation. Our God spoke this world into existence. Your children need to understand the truth of the creation, because if God will reveal himself, they will see the Lord high and lifted up. They'll see the power of God in speaking and creating this world. I need to see the Lord. I enjoy seeing you. Every time I see Brother David, I want to run up and hug his neck. I like to see you, but the one I need to see and have to see every day to make it every day is I have to see Jesus. And I think one of the things is we see Jesus in God's people, don't we? Just like that sun. Well, that's a beautiful thing to see the Lord in the sun, but to see God in his people, that's the reason I love you all so much, is because I see Jesus. There's not a one of you that I don't see Jesus in you. That makes you pretty. But sometimes I can't see Jesus in you. Now, Jesus may be in you just the same then as always, but sometimes I don't see Jesus in you. And it may be something wrong with me. You understand? It's just that I don't see him in you. He may be just as clearly there, but I don't see him in you. I need to get on my knees and say, Lord, help me to see you again. I know you're there. And if you're hiding yourself from me, help me to remember that you do still love me, and I will come forth as gold tried in the fire. So Isaiah saw the Lord high. Have you ever seen the Lord high and lifted up? You ever seen him in his holiness, in his majesty, in his glory? You ever seen the Lord like that? It's a blessing. Have you ever lost that vision? Have you ever not been able to see the Lord high and lifted up? I have many times in my life where I couldn't find him. I can't behold him. And that's seeing him and beholding him is heaven on earth, and not being able to find him is hell on earth. I need to see the Lord. Go with me to Daniel chapter 3 just a moment. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to ask you a question. Did Nebuchadnezzar see the Lord? Did Nebuchadnezzar not see the Lord? Did Nebuchadnezzar, which one was it with Nebuchadnezzar? Both. That's exactly right. You remember how he cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down into that burning fiery furnace? This is in Daniel chapter 3. He cast Shadrach, Meshach, or he had his servants cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down into that burning fiery furnace. Daniel 3, verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, that means astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men. There were three that we cast in. He now sees four. I see four men. How were they in the previous verse? They were bound. How are they now? Those four men are loose, and they're walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Do you know how he knew the form of the fourth was like the Son of God? God revealed it to him. He saw Jesus down there in that. How would you have felt if you had cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that fire and then looked down there and saw not only were they cast in bound, the fire didn't hurt them, and they're now loose and they're walking about, and one of them walking down there with them is Jesus. Brother Andy, how would you feel? What would you want to do? Yeah, I think so. I'd want to get them out of there. I'd also want to run and hide. I want to say, somebody else take care of this problem. I got some. I want to run from Jesus. Listen, here's what he did in verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Did he see Jesus now? You see what he did whenever he saw Jesus? Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. What was the decree? We're going to cut anybody in pieces that says anything against their God. He says they shall be cut in pieces and their houses shall be made a dunghill because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. You hear that? There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Did Nebuchadnezzar see God clearly? And how long did it last? Not sure exactly. But you know what he started doing next? He started, instead of looking at the glory of God, started looking at himself and the kingdom that he had built and said, oh, is not this the great Babylon that I built? And what did God do to him? What did he lose sight of? He lost sight of the Lord. And he looked at himself and his kingdom and his power and his glory. God brought him down to nothing. And then after he went through all that hell, then what did God do? God opened his eyes and he says, my understanding returned unto me. Brethren, I pray that God will help us, that we might understand God does sometimes hide himself from us. But when he does, don't you waver in your belief and your confidence that God does still love you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. May God help us to be like those people that went to the disciples of Jesus and said, sir, we would see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Every day when you get up, I pray that God will help you to see the Lord and see him high and lifted up. Because if you see him, that's what you're going to see. The great sovereign God of heaven and earth. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.